so many wonderful things, Lord. Father, in our city, God, to stop the violence and in us, Lord, as we've grown, Lord, and you, Lord. And Father, we just pray tonight, God, you'd be with us, God, that your Holy Spirit would have full control here tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys can go and have a seat here tonight. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Well, real quickly, of course, I want to thank my pastor, Pastor Danny, amen, for allowing me to speak here on Wednesday night. Such an awesome, awesome privilege, amen. And don't forget, you want to come back, of course, this weekend for the weekend, but Sunday morning, our Veterans Day service, and Pastor is going to be here with a powerful message. Make sure you invite somebody this Sunday morning as well. So let's jump right into it. You can grab your Bibles, Matthew chapter 9. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Or a quiet amen will do. Amen. Of course, with this time change, amen, messing me all up. It was dark when I got here. Come on, somebody. I was like, man, is it time to go home already? So let's just go. Getting tired about 8:30, and that's not supposed to happen. Amen. It's like, am I getting older? And yes, yes and yes. Time change, yes. Old, yes. Yes and yes. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30 reads like this. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were opened and they could see. Amen. So, how many of you, not telling your age, have had a beeper before? How many of you still remember your beeper code? Where they knew it was you. Like, they knew if 102 came through, that was me. Right? 102-911, right? Give me a call ASAP. Right? You got your beep, 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 right? I even had my beeper. I had a little beeper chain. No reason. I don't know. It looked cool, right? A little beeper chain. And then what would you have to do? You'd have to go find a phone, right? You'd go to these things. Any millennials here? It was called a pay phone. You'd have to put money inside of it, and you could make a call. And that's how it was done, right? And then, you know, I remember when me and Sister Michelle started dating, we had the phones where there were green screen, right? Green, there's no, right? The green screen, green with black letters. You had two games. You had Snake, right? Oh, and then you had was Tetris or yeah, whatever, right? That's what you had. And I'm Tetris master, right? Just. And then, you know, time went on. And I remember texting from one of those phones, trying to spell out a word. You had it 7776444211112. Right? A whole sentence, half an hour later, texting it through. But something happened a short time after that. Phones came out that were no longer phones. Right? It's not a phone. You could make a call on it, but it's through an app. It's a computer. Right? You don't have a phone. You have a computer now. It has processors. You get on the internet. Come on, somebody. You can, whatever you need. Used to get, you know, you used to have to go find some big desktop, right? Just recently at my new job, they gave me a laptop because I'm a salesman, and I found myself trying to push on it. You can do that with some laptops. It's not just because, you know, you try to move stuff around on the screen, whatever. You can't do that. But things have changed, right? They have changed because something happened. Something happened where it was no longer just a screen. It was no longer just a phone. It was no longer just a beeper. But something happened when the power came with touch. Because there's power in the touch. There's the power of any information. And you could Google anything. You could Wikipedia, encyclopedia. You could Bing, Google, all kinds of different search engines that I can't get into because I can't remember them at this moment. But you know what I'm talking about. There's all kinds of stuff on your phone. You can play 900 games. You got apps. You got folders. All kinds of things on your phone because there's power in the touch. And I want to ask you tonight, do you remember when you first got touched? Do you remember? Can you think back and say, you know what, I can think back and it was, you know, 17 years ago when I was lost and bound, but I remember the moment that God touched me. I remember I was no longer the same. I wasn't the same Patrick anymore. Something was different about me. I didn't think the same. I didn't want the same things. I wasn't caught up in the same kind of things because something was different because there was power in the touch. There was power. Some of you might be thinking back and trying to remember when that touch was. And unfortunately, you could be surrounded by the things of God. You could even be surrounded by the people of God. You could even be in the ministry of God, but not know God. Because even though you might be coming to church, you might have not had the touch. Where everything changed. Where everything was different. Just like these blind men here in the book of Matthew. Right? I was once blind. Come on, somebody. Were there some blind people in the house? I said, I was once blind, but now I... Come on, somebody. I said, I was once lost, but now I'm found. Just like these blind men. They were blind. Right? And that's how we were. The Bible says that the blind men, they were following Jesus. They were running after Jesus. Right? They were running after him because they needed a touch. They needed something to change, something to be different, for their lives to be different, something to once and for all. I no longer want to be the same person that I am. I no longer want to think the same thoughts that I think. I no longer want to do the same things that I do. I no longer want to go the direction that I'm going. And the only way the blind men could do that is if they received a touch. We see here in Matthew chapter 9 that they were chasing Jesus and they were yelling at him. They're the Son of David, have mercy on us. And then what happened? That there was power in the touch. That was their first touch. Do you remember your first touch? This is something that changed everything. Something that opened your eyes. That you're no longer the same person. But you could see things that you didn't see before. The thing about the blind men is they knew they were blind. They knew they were blind. See, if they didn't know they were blind, they wouldn't be looking for Jesus. See, some people, that they're blind, but they don't know they're blind. Right? They're walking there. They're thinking, it's like, you know what? I'm going through life and everything's all good and until something starts to fall apart. And then when you're blind, you begin to realize, hey, I'm blind. Right? You realize that you need an answer. You need something. And once they realized that they were blind, they did the right thing. The first, they cried out to Jesus. Then the Bible says they went into the house where he was staying. And how many know that sometimes you got to go where Jesus is at? I said, if Jesus isn't already inside of you and you're blind and you need Jesus in your life, you need to go where Jesus is at. Right? You're here tonight. You say, I've come to Victory Outreach Albuquerque, and I want to let you know that Jesus is in the building here tonight. Some of you, maybe one of your family members brought you. Maybe you're here in the Victory Homes. I want to let you know that you're in the right place because Jesus is in the house. The blind men went to where Jesus was. Then the Bible says that they believed. And then finally they said yes to Jesus. And here is what happened. Then he touched their eyes. Their eyes were opened because there's power in the touch. If you have not yet had that first touch from God, I hope you get it here tonight. I hope tonight is your night. I hope you feel like tonight's your night. I hope you feel the emptiness and being lost and lonely, because it's only at that point where you know that you're blind that Jesus can open up your eyes. I hope if that's you here tonight, that you allow Jesus to touch you. Not only is there power in the touch, there is also change in the touch. Genesis chapter 32 and 22, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcame." So we see here that there's change in the touch. Right? You say, you know what? I got my first touch. I believe that I'm saved, and I believe that I'm different. The Bible says that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But maybe you're still having some issues with your past. Maybe there's some deliverance that needs to take place, because how do you know when you get saved, you still have to deal with stuff? Right? I said you still got to deal with some stuff. There's still a process that has to take place. Just because you're saved doesn't mean it's over. As a matter of fact, it has just begun. Come on, somebody. Salvation is the starting line. You thought you were coming in for the big finish, the photo finish. But then they said it's time to go because it's barely getting started. The Bible says that night, what he's talking about is it happened right then. The next day, he was going to have to face his brother Esau, which he had, you know, stolen his birthright and all kinds of madness. And how many know that sometimes we got to face all kinds of madness? Come on, somebody. I know some of you have maybe looked into even tomorrow, the next day, or some of you might have a court date. Come on, somebody. I said, there comes a day where there's always a tomorrow. There's going to be all kinds of madness. Right? And the Bible talks about how Jacob, he said that night. He said, you know, God spoke to him. And what happened is he said that night. See, sometimes you have to make your someday today. Right? You can't always say, I'll change tomorrow. Right? I'll change next week, next month. I'll change when the money runs out. Come on, somebody. I ain't at the bottom of my barrel yet. I'll change when I get there. No, your someday has to turn into today. Right? It says that night, Jacob got alone. He sent everybody away, sent all of his people and got all away from his stuff. Because how many know when it's time to change, you got to separate yourself. Right? You got to separate yourself. Sometimes the reason why you don't change is because you need a change from all the negative influences that you have in your life. Right? Everybody trying to pull you down. Right? You start talking about maybe we should go to church. And they're like, oh, no, man, let's just smoke another one. Right? They're pulling you down. You say, hey, I want to go to church. And then they say stuff like, oh, church, all those people? Right? All they do is this and that and this and this and that. And it's like people try to hold you down. Right? Say, but you know that you need a change. So you got to separate yourself. Get away from the crowd. Get away from all the madness. Get away from all the negativity. Right? Get away from all the drama. Come on, somebody. Get away from the drama. Change the channel on that drama. Some of you stuck on the drama. Lifetime. You got Lifetime 24/7. Yeah, change it up. Me and my wife, we love Law and Order. We, SVU, all that, you know, that's a show right there. Like, what's going to happen? Like, all caught up in the drama. Amen. Separate yourself. And then I like what he did here. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So he got alone. And what did he do? He wrestled. But he didn't just wrestle for a short time. He didn't just wrestle for some time. But Jacob wrestled all the way till daybreak. And see, sometimes you got to fight all night. Sometimes you got to fight all night. Right? You've been stuck. You've been stuck in the same kind of stuff, right? You've been held back by the same old thing, the same drama in your life. Sometimes you got to get away and you got to fight all night. Get on your knees and fight all night. Get in your Bibles and fight all night until you get the victory. That's the thing about Jacob. He didn't give up just because someone was wrestling with him. Just because there was a battle. He stayed in the battle. Right? And then what happened? All the way till daybreak. And then at the time, at the appointed time, the man said, hey, you got to let me go because the fight's over. He said, no, man, I ain't going to let you go because I'm still the same. And I ain't leaving here still the same. Right? Sometimes, you know, you might be in the victory home. And your 12 months might be up, but you know you're still the same. Sometimes you got to tell your director, I ain't leaving at 12 months because I didn't come here to stay the same. I came to stay till something changed. He said, no, I ain't letting go. I ain't going to let go until you bless me. What he was saying is, I've been struggling. I've been going through some things. And I fought all night long. And I ain't about to give up until you touch me. I'm not going to give up until I get a touch from God. What happened? Right? He got touched. And his hip, right? Bam. The Bible says it was wrenched out of socket. That didn't sound like it felt good. Right? Didn't say it fell out of socket. Right? It said it was wrenched out of socket. That's an action word. If you're a mechanic or something, you know that's hardcore. Right? He wrenched it out of socket. Something happened. Right? So Jacob, he was there and he was yelling, I'm not gonna let go until you bless me. I'm not gonna let go until I'm different. And the action that took place was actually an action that hurt him. Right? It was a process that involved pain. Now we know that your process might involve pain. But you know that, but you gotta pray for that process. You say, God, I don't want to be the same. Even if it causes me pain to change, I don't want to be the same. Even if it causes me pain. Touched him. What I like about this story is we got touched, right? And it threw his hip out of socket. And every once in a while I throw my back out. You see me walking kind of crooked around here. It's all good. Everybody, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. And, you know, walking crooked. Do I look okay? Don't ask me if I'm okay. I'm walking sideways. I didn't drink my V8 this morning. See, you old people knew that one. Young guys didn't. Right? But what happened when touched his hip, he began to walk differently because he was changed. He was no longer the same, right? Because he had fought the battle. He fought all night. He separated himself. He did what he had to do. He went through the process of pain. And then God changed him. Changed him with the touch, right? See, sometimes we don't change because we don't want to go through the pain. We don't want to go through it. We tap out. Instead of holding on, we tap out. God wants to do something. Don't tap out. God wants to change you. Don't tap out. God wants to elevate you. He wants to take you to another level. Don't tap out. Sometimes, you know, people come into the church, they come into our Victory homes, and they stay for a little while, and things get rough. The storm hits, right? Everybody ever been in a storm before, right? The boat starts rocking, right? Start getting seasick and stuff, and you tap out. But you know what? The blessing's not in the tap out, right? The blessing's not in the tap out. There's change in the touch. What happened after he was touched? He was no longer the same. He's no longer the same Jacob. As a matter of fact, God even changed his name. So the Lord prevailed, that God had the victory in his life. And see, sometimes it takes a moment of surrender. A surrender for God to have the victory. Not only is there power, not only is there change, but there's also purpose in the touch. There's purpose in the touch. Jeremiah chapter 1, begin reading in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. See, here in Jeremiah chapter 1, we see that the Bible declares that even before he was formed in his mother's womb, that he knew him. And the same goes for us. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. God had a plan, a purpose, a calling for your life. It's not like one's called and one's not called. We're all called. You have a purpose for your life. You are significant. You are important. God has a desire for you to fulfill the purpose he created you for. And you have to realize this. It's not for some, but it's for all. This is you. Put yourself in the scripture. That even before you were formed in your mother's womb, that God knew you. That he set you apart. That he appointed you for what God has called you to do. So you realize that you're called, and I like what Jeremiah says, just like Moses said, just like Gideon said. All he said, what he does is he starts making excuses. He makes excuses. He says, I'm too young, I can't speak, all these things. Listen, what does the Lord say? It's not you. See, that's the problem why some people don't think they're called, because they think it's about them. And see, it's not about you. But it's about the God inside of you. It's about what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do through you. Right? And what does he do? See, we see here Jeremiah goes on and says he's called, talks about the excuses. But then he says, then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched his mouth. He touched him. He touched him with the call of God. Right? He touched Jeremiah with the call of God. He said, you know what? You are called. You have a purpose. He touched him. And sometimes these touches come in different phases. First, we have our first touch of salvation, God calling us, right? And then God touches us to change. And then God touches us again and say, you know what? I didn't just change you to change you, but I changed you for a purpose. Changed you for a purpose. Not for no reason. Yes, it's because he loves you with an everlasting, undying, unconditional love. But it's more than that. It's about your future, about your purpose, about your destiny that God has. So there we see that he touched him. He touched him. He put his words inside of his mouth. See, God will give you everything that you need to fulfill your purpose here. He'll give you everything that you need. Don't ever think that you're not qualified. Don't ever think that you're not good enough, because God is qualified and God is good enough. Amen? Not only is there purpose in the touch, there's healing in the touch. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. There is healing in the touch of God. There's healing in our minds, in our bodies. We see here with the man of leprosy, what happened is he came and he knelt before Jesus. And this was the right thing to do, because sometimes we got to come and kneel before Jesus, right? Sometimes we think that God's not concerned with our problems, right? As Christians, we think we're super Christians, right? We start praying for everybody else, right? We pray, oh, I know that you could heal them, God. I know you could do a miracle in their lives, God. But you don't believe it for yourself. Sometimes you got to kneel before Jesus. There is healing in the touch. And my last point, if the keyboard player wants to make their way. Not only is there power, not only is there change, not only is there purpose, not only is there healing, but there's breakthrough in the touch. There's breakthrough in the touch. Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34. There's a story of a woman. Let me go ahead and read it. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I could just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel her body, that she'd been healed of the terrible condition. So we see here there's a woman that had an issue for a long time. And you know, you look back and we talked about our first touch from God. We talked about how God touches and changes people. How God touches and gives us purpose or healing. But we see this woman, there was something different. That she needed to break through something that had been going on a long time. And us as Christians, we come to church. And we come, you know, some of us have been here for a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. And a long period of time been around Jesus. And we go through this long period of time, just like this woman with the issue of blood. And as we're getting breakthrough and God is elevating us and filling us full of purpose, sometimes there's always that one thing or those things that hold us back from really being where God wants us to be. For having the breakthrough God really wants us to have. And we're saying, God, give me a fresh touch, God. But you see, this story is different. This story, God didn't touch her. See, sometimes you can't just sit around waiting for a touch from God. You can't come to a church service and sing, God, touch me. You can't get on your knees and say, God, will you touch me? God, please touch me. Sometimes when things get to that point, you yourself, you have to go through the crowd. You have to do whatever you got to do. You got to make your way to Jesus. And you got to touch him. Say, God, I don't want to be the same anymore. I know God is getting ready for a new season, a new level, a breakthrough from a thing that I've been holding to for a long time. Sometimes you got to make your way. Do whatever you got to do. Pray for however long you got to pray. And press through as long as you got to press through. And just like Jacob, sometimes you got to fight all night until you get to a place where you can just reach out and touch Jesus. You can stand to your feet tonight. Maybe that's you here tonight. Maybe you don't know Jesus. You're saying, I need my first touch. I still don't believe. I've been around church and I've been around Jesus, I've been around the people of God, and I've surrounded myself with the things of God, and you know, I like Christian things on Facebook, and I even have a Bible in my house, but I don't have Jesus in my heart. Tonight's your night. Don't let one more day go without accepting Jesus into your heart. Maybe that's you, and you say, you know, I need a change. I've been saved, I got saved, but I'm still struggling. Listen, you're not the only one. Don't you dare think for one minute that you're the only one that has struggles. But don't you also not think for one minute that God's not able to change you. With just one touch, God can change everything. If that's you, I want to pray for you tonight also. You say, you know what, I've been coming to church and I feel the call of God. I feel like God wants to do something. I know that there's more to life than this. Listen, God has a purpose for you. God wants to touch you with that purpose. Maybe it's healing. Maybe there's something in your mind or your heart. Maybe you feel depressed or anxious. Whatever it is. Say, God, I need your touch tonight. Or maybe you're like the woman with the issue of blood. And you say, you know, I can't wait for God to touch me. I got to do whatever it takes to make my way to Jesus. And I got to touch him. I need breakthrough. I know that God wants to elevate me, that God wants to use me and my family, that God wants to do something great in my life. Whatever it is, I'm going to touch Jesus tonight. If that's you, any one of those areas spoke to you, I want you to step out of your seat. Let's join together at the altar.